this coming Sunday I won't be able to give the shiur at the regular time. There's some kind of a conference that they asked me to attend, so I'll have to give the shiur at 9:30 in the morning till 11. Parshas Kisiso, the bulk of the parsha deals with the Chet HaEgel, which is repeated again in Parshas Ekev. And the Chumash introduces the story in Parshas Ekev. Zachor al tishkach Esa shehitzavta Hashem alakecha b'amidbar min hayom sheyetzosam yeretz Mitzrayim ad barachem al amokam hazeh ma'amrim ha'yisem im Hashem v'chor v'hitzavtem es Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells about the Chet HaEgel. So the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos is mesupik whether this should be counted as one of the Taryag Mitzvos. Is this a Hirah Shor, an instruction that's only relevant to the Dor HaMidbar, they should remember the Chet HaEgel? Or is this one of the Mitzvos HaTor that throughout all the generations we should remember? The Magen Avraham didn't have a Sefer HaMitzvos, so he quotes from the Yalkut Shemoni. Yalkut Shemoni says that this is a Mitzvah L'doros, that just like we have a din of Parsha Zohar, the Gemara in the first parak of Megillah assumes Zichiras Amalek is at the end of Parshas Kisetze. So we assume that the obligation, the Sefer Achinuch writes, he's not sure, how do you fulfill the Parsha Zoche? Is it once in a lifetime or once every few years? Or maybe it's once a year, every year, like the Chachamim were Mesaken, the Shabbos immediately before Purim. That's only Midi Rabbanan. Purim is only Midi Rabbanan, but the Sefer Achinuch is mistopic to say maybe the mitzvah is once a year, every year, because the Gemara says in Eilam Metzias that the Shir Shikcha is Yid Beis Chodesh. Ein ames mishtakech min alev ad lacha Yud Beis Chodesh, and you forget about an aveide after Yud Beis Chodesh. So maybe the Shir Zechira is once a year, every year. You should remember Eser Shas Halacha Amalek. So that's the Sefer, the Magen Avraham in Shulchan Aruch quotes the Yalkut Shemoni, who thinks like that side in the Ramban, that this is a mitzvah once a year, every year we should learn Parshas Chet HaEgel. So the Magen Avraham asks Akasha, how come we don't make a whole fuss about it? Why don't we have a special Haftarah? Why don't we mark it on the calendar? We should announce, the Gabbai should announce, everybody should have in mind to be Yotze with Parshas Chet HaEgel. He has the same Kasha there in Parshas Kisetze. There's another Zechira, which many Rishonim consider a mitzvah the Doris. We should remember the Chet Miriam. So also, you should learn once a year, every year, Chet Miriam. You should make a whole Haftarah and make a big tzimtzum about it. So the Magen Avraham suggests that maybe it's a busha for Miriam HaTzadekes, that we should speak about her Chet. And it's a busha for Klal Yisrael, that we should make a big tzimtzum about the Chet HaEgel. But he thinks it's really once a year, every year, just like Parsha Zohar is their Isis, so too Parshas Chet HaEgel and Parshas Kisetze is also a Chiyuv Deraisa to learn once a year, every year, about Chet Miriam and about the Chet HaEgel. What exactly are we supposed to remember? What's the mitzvah to remember the Chet HaEgel? So the Gemara in the first parak, in the beginning of the first parak of Maseches Avodah Zarah, the Gemara quotes one opinion. It seems like it's a machlokes. The Gemara quotes one opinion that b'derech hateva the Bnei Yisrael would not have chosen to sin with the Chet HaEgel after experiencing the Esamakas and the Kriyas Yamsuf and the Maimon HaSinai. It doesn't make sense that they should decide to worship the Chet HaEgel. Kadosh Baruch Hu suspended their Bechira Chavshis and caused them to sin in order to teach the lesson of tshuva. That's how the Gemara has a lashon. L'hoi yisol shebor sado ruim lois amaisa. Based on their own bechira chavshis, they would never have sinned. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused them to sin to teach the lesson of tshuva. And that's perhaps in line with what the Gemara has in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah, on the pasuk Vayav Hashem al pani vayikra Hashem Hashem kal racham v'chanun. So the Gemara understands malamid shenisativ HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishliach tzibur. And the Rebbein Shalom recited Yud Gimel Midas, and he told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Kol zman shebanei choytim yasal lefanik kiseder hazeh, v'ani moichal lehem." That the whole purpose of the Chet HaEgel was to teach the lesson of tshuva. Rashi on Chumash quotes a different medrash that seems to disagree. Rashi quotes, "When HaKadosh Baruch Hu notifies Moshe Rabbeinu both in Kisiso and when it's repeated in Parshas Ekev." When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, who is on top of Har Sinai at the end of the 40 days, he tells him, "Lech reid kisheches amcha. What kind of expression is that? Kisheches amcha. It's your nation. It's his nation. It's the Baruch Shalom's nation. Why is it kisheches amcha? So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, from the Mechilta. Kisheches amcha refers to the Erev Rav. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's idea. Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu is going to Bnei Yisrael the Am HaNivchar. It's going to take him to Hasina, make him Maimon Hasina. So Moshe Rabbeinu decided, why should we only have Shishim Ribo, the men, the women, and the children? Shouldn't we try to have a bigger Maimon Hasina? Let's enhance it. Let's get more Geirim. So Moshe Rabbeinu did on his own. He was taught by Kadosh Baruch Hu there's going to be an institution of Geiris, but this was his idea to accept the heir of Rav. So after the Chet HaEgel, Kadosh Baruch Hu points a finger to Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, it was your Geirim who ruined the whole Bnei Yisrael. Kishichas Amcha, the Eir of Rav, got everybody involved. According to the way the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechus Avodah Zarah, it didn't start from the Eir of Rav. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision to do this. He suspended the Bechira Chavshis to cause them to sin with Avodah Zarah, to teach Laharis Tshuva L'Rav, to teach the lesson that even if everybody worships Avodah Zarah, it's still possible to be Chayza B'Tshuva. The aliyas and Parshas Kisiso are out of proportion. The first two aliyas, Koin Alevi, are very, very long, and you go deep into the Parsha. And then the rest of the aliyas are shorter. Why are they out of proportion? So the Mogen Avraham writes, because the Kohanim and the Levim apparently were not involved in the Chet HaEgel. It says, when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mila Hashem Eli, it says all of Shevet Levi joined in. So apparently the whole Shevet Levi didn't sin with Chet HaEgel. So it'll be embarrassing. A person gets an aliyah and he's not from the Shevet Levi, and they're going to read for his aliyah about this terrible sin that his ancestors were involved in. So that's why we reserve the whole story of the Chet HaEgel is read by the Kohanim and Levim. They have nothing to be embarrassed about. Their ancestors were not involved in the Chet HaEgel. So that's why the aliyah is lopsided. That's why you have Shlishi begins after the whole Chet HaEgel is over. You read in the Chumash, I don't think so. What do you mean? The Kohen, if there's no Levi and the Kohen got the first Aliyah, then he gets the second Aliyah also.
If there's no Levi. There's no Kohen, would you give the first two Aliyahs to meaning combine the first two and give it to?
No.
If there's a Kohen
and there's no Levi, then the Kohen gets the second Aliyah also. But I mean, if there's no Kohen, but there is a Levi, so we don't give the Levi the first Aliyah. The Gabbai made up their own dinim. If there's no Kohen, you give the Levi the first Aliyah. The Gemara says not so. The Gemara says, Ein Shem Kohen is Parda Chavila. So Rashi, Gemara in Gittin, and Perakan is often. So Rashi has two pshatim. One pshat is you're not obligated to give the Levi the first Aliyah. If you want to, you may. And the other pshat is it's not proper to give the Levi the first Aliyah. If you give the Levi the first Aliyah, you're giving the Levi the same degree covered that's due to the Kohen. Somebody has to get the first Aliyah. But they give it to Yisrael. You don't give it to a Levi. Unless the Levi happens to be the biggest Talmud Chacham there. Sometimes when we would lane, so there wouldn't be a Kohen, so the boys would ask Rabbi Soloveitchik, he should get the first Aliyah. So he said, no. Since Shulchan Aruch is supposed to be Machmer, like the other opinion of Rashi, not to give the Levi the first Aliyah. So they said, but you're the Rebbe, you're the biggest Talmud Chacham. So he insisted that not. He wanted to teach us the lesson to be machmer. The Shulchan Aruch recommends to be machmer for that opinion of Rashi, not to give the Levi the first Aliyah. Nah, if you have no currency, give it Yisrael the first Aliyah. It's only a minig. What exactly happened when Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the luchas? He threw the luchas down, or they were so heavy that he dropped them? So the Beis HaLevi has a whole drosha where he points out that just like we have machloikas atanaim, with the Eide Chasim HaKars, Eide Misir HaKars, with the Yuchlet Asher, Yushma Asher, you have machlekes hatanaim, all kinds of things. Whether oiris v'doichen is a bole dechim, is not bole dechim. You have machlekes hatanaim on halachas. You have machlekes hatanaim on hashkofa as well. So he says this is a machlekes hatanaim. Some tanaim hold that Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the luchas. That's what the Rashi quotes at the end of V'zayis Habracha. Yashikoyach sheshibarta. Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the luchas on purpose. What did he do it for? The different suggestions in the Tanaim why he smashed the luchas, and the other opinion in the Tanaim was that he saw they were worshiping the eagle, so all the luchas were very heavy. It was stone,
So the reason why it was physically possible for a human being to pick it up is because the letters were carved through and through, so the whole thing was empty space. There were a lot of holes in the whole thing. So when Moshe Rabbeinu saw them worshipping the eagle, all the letters were perchas bavir, and everything was stone. Everything turned into stones. Everything was stone. It was so heavy, he couldn't hold it. So he dropped it. He wasn't capable to hold such a heavy thing. So the Beis Halevi has it. It seemed to be a major machlokes in the Tanoim. What happened over here? Rashi and Chumash quotes one of the versions. The Tana who says Moshe Rabbeinu did it l'tovas Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Anochi Hashem Elokecha in the singular. So he really meant Anochi Hashem Elokecha l'chol yachid v'yachid to each and every individual Jew. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want Bnei Yisrael to be held guilty of Avodah Zarah. So he smashed the luchas and he said, he never delivered the luchas to Bnei Yisrael. He said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha was said to me. It wasn't said to Bnei Yisrael. And they should be like a Pnuya Shezinsa, not like an Eshes Shezinsa. As if the luchas were the case of Kiddushin. Maimon Hasina was like a Kiddushin between Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the luchas were the case of Kiddushin. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Shlech Lohilacha. And if he doesn't deliver the case of Kiddushin to the Kala, so she's a Pnuya Shezinsa. She's not an Eshes Shezinsa. So that's one medrash that Rashi quotes on Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu did it, the Toivas Bnei Yisrael, he didn't deliver the luchas. The Loshana Rashi quotes in the medrash is like the king is away on vacation and he comes back and he's furious. He heard a rumor that the queen was Mezana. So he's going to put it to death. He's furious, he's going to put it to death. So Ohavo Shel HaMelech, he had a good friend who knew that it wasn't true. And the king was just in a rage, so the Ohavo Shel HaMelech ripped up the ksuba, so the queen will be a pnuya, he won't be able to punish her. And then in the meanwhile, the king made a little investigation, and turned out that it was one of the shvachas who was mezana. It wasn't his wife. So the medrash is very strange. When you rip up the ksuba, so the Eish HaSish becomes single again. How is that? The Kesel Kiddushin makes her into an Eish HaSish. How does it help ripping up the ksuba? Very strange. That's the lotion of the medrash. The Ohavo Shel HaMelech ripped up the ksuba. By ripping up the ksuba, so the queen is going to be nidon like a pnuya shezinsa rather than an eshes shezinsa. So one of the chassidish svarim, I remember many years ago, one of the chassidish svarim writes there's a gemara kiddushin in the first perek that kesef is koine by karka, but b'mokim shekoyes v'nis hashtar, if the meaning on mokim is that you always write a deed when you sell real estate, so then kesef is not kain at shiichtav es hashtar. So one of the Chassidish Svarim says that since the minig ha-mokam b'yas is that we always give a ksuba, so if you give a ring, it's mokam shekais v'nes hashtar, so the kedushin is not chal till you give over the ksuba. It's a little humorous. Is that true? Pashto says that it's certainly not true. Even if you don't give over the ksuba, because the ksuba says havei leili yintu kadas Moshe v'Yisrael. So that's considered Makan Shekos from the Sashtar. The Pashto says that it's not true. It's a strange Loshen HaMedrash. And what does it mean that the Eish HaSish will be nidon like a Pnuya, as if the Maimon HaSina was only for Moshe Rabbeinu? Anochi Hashem Elokecha was speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, not to Bnei Yisrael. So Zolzayin, not Bnei Yisrael, so they're Nochrim. Anochri is also Musa not to worship Abed Azor. One of the Sheva Mitzvahs has been in Noach. So how is it true that Pnuya, it's not the Kiddushin between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Israel didn't take effect because Moshe Rabbeinu was a Shlech Lahilocha, he never delivered the case of Kiddushin, so we're Bnei Noach. So Bnei Noach who worships Abed Azor is also Chayv Misa. How does that get us off the hook? The Medrash is problematic. You have to understand what the Medrash means over here.
The Ramban points out that Gai were only punished by Abed Azor in Eretz Yisrael. We don't find that Gai were punished
by Abed Azor. Wow, that is quite a Kiddush. Okay, that's quite a chiddush. Don't know. I'm sure the Midrashim talk about it. There was a major difference between the Luchas Rishonis and the Luchas Shnias. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up the first time for the Luchas Rishonis, he didn't take any material with him. So where did the material come from? He was on top of the Har Sinai. Where did it come from? So the pasuk says, "Aluchas ma'aser lekim heima b'hamichta michta velekimhu chorusal aluchas." It means that the material on which the aseres hadibus were engraved was mitachas kisi akovet. It wasn't stone from this world. Luchas evan, but it wasn't evan from ma'olam hazeh. It wasn't an evan that we're familiar with. Aluchas ma'aser lekim heima was some heavenly material. V'hamichta michta velekimhu chorusal aluchas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu engraved the aseres hadibris on the luchas, as opposed to the luchas shniyos. After Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the luchas, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs him, "You smashed my luchas. Psal luchos nei luchas avarim korishonim, and bring them, bring stone from this world up to the top of Har Sinai." The echtova haluchos es hadvarim shehayu haluchos harishonim asher shibarto. So the second time around wasn't a luchas ma'aser lekim heima. The substance on which the Aseres Hadibris was engraved was Olam Hazeh stone, regular stone. It was Michtav Elokim. It was engraved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ksivu was done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Poshe Pshat in the Psukim. The Echtoba Haluchos, I will engrave. The Rambam Drashim, where it says that the Luchos Shniyos Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. So how does I read in the Pasuk? It says, V'Echtoba Haluchos. So apparently the Midrashim understand, I will see to it that you will write. The Echtoba Haluchos. I'll see to it. Baruch Shalom says, I'll see to it that'll be written. You'll engrave it the second time. That's a question. Yeah. Sometimes you have in biblical Hebrew, that's what it means. Yeah, it says that when Tzipora was saved Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Malach came to kill him because he hadn't performed the Bris Milah, it says, Vatikach Tzipora Tzor, the Ratichres is our lasbino. So the Gemara has a machlekes where the isha ksheira lomol or not. So if isha psula lomol, how does she do the bris milo? Ratichres is our lasbino. So the Gemara says she saw to it. There was a Jew there. There was a Jewish man. She saw to it that the Jewish man performed the bris milo. Ratichres does mean that she did it. She saw to it that it was taken care of. There also the echtova halachos. Apparently that medrash understands. I'll see to it that it'll be written. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that Moshe Rabbeinu writes on the Luchas. Beis HaLevi has a long arichas about the difference between the Luchas Rishonis and the Luchas Shniyos, that he quotes a lot of Midrashim that on the Luchas Rishonis, not only were the Aseres Hadibris engraved, Kol HaTorah Kula was there. Wasn't just the Aseres Hadibris, as opposed to the Luchas Shniyos, which only had the Aseres Hadibris. How can that be? But doesn't the pasuk say Psalochos Nelochos Avarim Karishanim V'Chasavti Al Halachos Sadvam Shehayu Al Halachos Arishonim Asher Shibarta? Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to engrave everything the same as the first luchas. So that's what the Beis Halevi answers. No, there's one version in the Medrash and in the Zohar that the original luchas had Kol HaTorah Kula written on it, and the original plan was it's only going to be Torah Shemichsav. There isn't going to be any Torah Shebal Peh. And then when Moshe Rabbeinu sees the Chet HaEgel, so all of the other psukim disappeared. It was Osios Parchas Ba'avir, and the only thing that was left were the Aseres Hadibros. At the time that Moshe Rabbeinu smashed it, all of the additional psukim had disappeared. The only thing that was left was Aseres Hadibros. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now I'm going to make Lucha Shniyos, it's only going to have Aseres Hadibros. This time I'll only grave as Hadvarim, the text of Shehayu Alalchos Arishanim. At the time, Asher Shibarto, at the time that he smashed it, it only had that Aseres Hadibros, because everything else had flown away, had disappeared. And that's why there was one opinion in the Tanaim that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't really smash it. He dropped it. It was so heavy he dropped it, because when all the other Osios with Parchas Ba'avir, so everything got filled up again with stone, the way it normally was, and the stone was too heavy to schlep, so he dropped it.
So,
Uchasavti es hadu asher hayu al alchos harishonim asher shibarto. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will engrave on the Luchas Shniyos the text that appeared on the Luchas Harishonim at the time that you smashed it. At the time you smashed it, it didn't have Kol HaTorah Kula, because all the other psukim, aside from the Aseres Hadibros, had disappeared. Beis HaLevi shows in the last Rasha in Chelek Beis, and the Tshuvas of Beis HaLevi has a whole section of Drasha. So the last Drasha, he quotes many Marmekaimus from Midrashim and from passages in the Zohar. Then he quotes also Gemara and Shabbos. The Gemara and Shabbos says that the Oisius of the Luchas went through and through. Mizeh, Mizeh, Heim Ksuvim, it says in the Chumash like that. It doesn't mean that you can read on all sides Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Here it said Anochi, on the other side the letters were backwards. People think that it was written in both directions, you can read Anochi Hashem Elokecha. There may be a medrash like that, but that's not what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says on one side it said Anochi, on the other side the letters would read the other direction, backwards. But the Gemara gives examples of words that appeared on the Luchas on the other side. It was backwards. The Gemara gives examples of words that don't appear in our Seres HaDibrois. So Tosis points it out. So Tosis asks, what the Gemara giving words that don't appear in our Seres HaDibrois? So Tosis says, the Gemara just gave it as a mashal. Nevuv. It said, Nevuv Luchos. So the Gemara says, in this direction it said Nevuv, and the other side it said Buban. The same words, the same letters backwards. So Taisa says the Gemara just gave a mashal, but that word did not appear on the Aseres HaDibrois. So the Beis Halevi says, but once you see all the Midrashim and all the passages in the Zohar that Kol HaTorah Kula was written on the Luchos HaRishonim, so then you can understand the Gemara Kipshuta. You don't have to say the Gemara just gave a mashal. It means everything was written, including Nevuv Luchos, also as HaMishkon. The word Nevuv did appear on the Luchos. Then the Beis Halevi has this whole suggestion. We have two Yamin Tovim that both celebrate Kabbalah Satur. Shavuos is the Yontif of Zman Matan Taraseinu, and Yom HaKippurim, the Mishnah says, and the end of Tainus, Lohoyu Lohem Yisrael Yamin Tovim Kachamishos Abba, Yom HaKippurim, these were the two jolliest days in the year. And the Benois Yisrael would go make Shiduchim and so on. So the Gemara says, Bishleimi Yom Kippur, we know what we're celebrating about. It's Yom Kabbalas Luchos Shnius. It's Yom Kabbalas HaTorah. So what do you need? Beis HaLevi asks, what do you need two Yomim Tovim? Rav Shlomo Levilner raises this question in his Sefer Binyan Shlomo. What do you need two Yomim Tovim to celebrate Kabbalas HaTorah? Either celebrate on Shavuos or celebrate on Yom HaKippurim. So the Rav Shlomo Levilner suggests that there are two parts to the Torah. There's Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpes. And maybe Shavuos we celebrate Kabbalah's Torah Shebichsav, and Yom Kippur we celebrate Torah Shebalpeh, but he doesn't elaborate on it. He doesn't explain, just because they're kasha, what do you need two? There are two parts to the Torah. So on one Yantav we celebrate one, the other Yantav we celebrate the other. Beis HaLevi, he elaborates more on the theme. He says, according to the first plan, there was only going to be Torah Shebichsav, there wasn't going to be any Torah Shebalpeh. The whole purpose of Torah Shebalpeh, Taisus in Gittin and Afnates quotes a Medrash Rabbah, the whole purpose of Torah Shebalpeh was that after the Chet HaEgel, it was nigzer on the Jewish people that the Ummah Soilem will have a shlita over us. If not for the Chet HaEgel, the Ummah Soilem will never have any shlita over Bnei Yisrael. So they will never be able to claim that they are the true Am HaNivcha, that we lost our status as Am HaNivcha. But after the Chet HaEgel, so the part of the punishment was that the Ummahs will have a shlita over us. So the Catholics, Arayam HaZeh, they claim that the Jews lost their status as Am HaNivcha because we rejected Osa HaHuish. And they're the real Am HaNivcha, they're the true. A couple of years ago, they were fudging a little bit. They said, maybe the Jews are Am HaNivcha. Now they said, now they went back to what they always said. Now they say, they're the Am HaNivcha. We lost our status Am HaNivcha because we rejected Jesus. So we lost our status. So the Medrash says, what are we going to have that's unique, that the Ummah Salam don't have, that indicates that we are the true Am HaNivcha? So the Pasuk says in Navi, Echtav lahem rube tayrose halokam ozar nechshavu. If the whole Torah will be written down, the Gemara has a machlegs of Yechon and a Rebbe Lozer in Gittin, where the Rov Torah is bichsav, or Rov Torah is balpeh. So the Gemara quotes this Pasuk, Echtav lo rube tayrose, if I'm going to write, call out Torah, call Baruch Shalom is speaking. If I'll write the whole Torah bichsav, and the Ummah Salam will have a text of call out Torah, call out. So the Jews will be like strangers. The Catholics will claim that they're the Am HaNivcha. So that's why the Rabban Shlomo Davki didn't write Kol HaTorah Kula. He left the Torah Shebalpeh. That's only miyuchad for the Jewish people. Now that's already been undone. Now every time Art Scroll prints another Gemara, so they send 25 copies to the Vatican. So they have in the original, they have in the Aramaic, and they have in Yiddish, and they have in English. They have all the Art Scrolls. But still, the Gemara, the Medrash says that because of the fact that we have the Torah Shebalpeh, they don't have it to the same extent that we have it. So that's what's the clear indication that we are the Yama Nivcham. So this whole plan, the whole need for the Torah Shemal Peh was only after the Chet HaEgel. And part of the Oynish for the Chet HaEgel was that the Umma Solom will have a Shlita over Mene Yisolom, and maybe they may be able to taina that they are the true Yama Nivchar. So after the Chet HaEgel, the Rebbe Shalom had instituted Torah Shemal Peh. So that's what the Beis HaLevi explains. The Luchas we show in us, the Aseres Adibas were proclaimed on Shavuos. And according to the original plan, there was only going to be Torah Shebichsav, and everything was going to be written on the Luchas when Moshe Rabbeinu was going to come down 40 days after Shavuos. Kol HaTorah Kula was going to be on the Luchas. There wasn't going to be any need for any Torah Shebal Peh. But after the Chet HaEgel, and it was Nigzat that the Umma Solom should have Shlita over Bnei Yisrael, so then Rabban Shalom decided we have to have a Torah Shebal Peh. So the Mahadura Tinyana, the second Mahadura, the second version was that the Luchas only contain the Aseres Adibras, doesn't contain Kol HaTorah Kula, and not only that, there's going to be a Torah Shebal Peh. In addition to the whole Torah Shebichsav, going to be a Torah Shebal Peh as well. So that's why Shavuos is the Yontif of Kabbalah's Torah Shebichsav, and Yom Kippurim was when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchas Shnias. That was established as the Yontif to celebrate the receiving of the Torah Shebal Peh. Yeah, the Gemara quotes this. No, the Gemara has a machlokes, but the rov of Torah is bichsav, a rov of Torah is balpet. Stam, the Prima Godim, starts off his psicha kolelis, his general introduction to Torah Shebalpet. It's called the psicha kolelis to Orachain, but it's really a general introduction to all of Torah Shebalpet. So he starts off with this Gemara. The Gemara has a machlokes, Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Lozer, the Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan, but the rov Torah is bichsav, a rov Torah is balpet. So he quotes from the Be'er Sheva, Sefer Be'er Sheva, who was a Talmud of the Sma, the Be'er Sheva Maseches Hori, he says, how can there be a Machleg? So you look in any library, Torah Shebichsav is only 24 Svarim. As in the Arbi Kisvei HaKadosh, Torah Shebal Peh is way more. So of course it's obvious that the Rov of Torah is Bal Peh. So the Be'er Sheva suggests a pshat, that the Rav of the Torah really consists of the dinim that are established through the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Ben. So that was really the machlokes, because there aren't so many halachas l'moshe miSinai. So the ruba of the Torah are the halachas that were established through the Yud Gimel Midrash. So he says that's the nekudas ha-machlokes between Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Loza. The dinim that are established by darshaning the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Ben, do they have the status of Torah Shebichsav? Do they have the status of Torah Shebal Peh? What's the big difference? What's the difference with the Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh? So that's what the Be'er Sheva suggests, one nafkemino la'alocha, then the Prima Godim takes over. That's how he starts off his psicha kalalis. He gives additional suggestions. What might be a difference, halacha l'maisa, whether any given din, whether the dinim established based on the Yud Gimel Midrash, whether they have the status of Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebal Peh, where do you find that there's a difference? So he rattles off a whole bunch of differences. So in the middle in the middle of that machlokes, so one of the Amoraim quotes this pasuk from Navi. Echtav lo rubei Torasi, if I will write the majority of the Torah, bichsav, and the miut will be bal peh, then the Jewish people will be like strangers, because the Catholics will claim that they are the Yama Nivcha. So that's why the Rebbeinu Shlomo decided to make rov over the Torah bal peh. That's how that Amor interprets the Gemara. That Amor interprets that pasuk. B'tmiyah echta l'uro b'taras, if I would have written rov of the Torah b'chsav, then Bnei Yisrael will be on the outside. So that's why the rov of the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the rov of the Torah bal peh, not b'chsav. And the other Amor says, no, it doesn't mean that. It's not that the pasuk is determining which is, whether rov is b'chsav or rov is bal peh. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that the role of Moshe Rabbeinu apparently was different. He claimed that it says this in Midrashim. I don't know where the Midrash is. He says that the role of Moshe Rabbeinu by the Luchas Rishonos, Chumash is called Luchas Rishonim. Okay. The role of Moshe Rabbeinu by the first Luchas was as a Shliach L'Hailoche, and the role of Moshe Rabbeinu by the second Luchas was as a Shliach L'Kabbalah. The Shliach L'Hailoche is HaKiddushin, if he doesn't deliver the Kiddushin, so the girl is a Pnuya. So Moshe Rabbeinu decided he's not going to deliver the Luchas. He smashed the Luchas, he dropped the Luchas, whatever happened, he never delivered it. So we were like a Pnuya. the kiddushin didn't take effect. And the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't want him to have the option of doing that the second time around. So he said, you bring up the luchas and I'll engrave it. When I'll engrave it, that'll already be the kiddushin. Ribbono Shel Olam is putting the oisias into the material that belongs to Bnei Yisrael. So it's like Moshe Rabbeinu is the shlech lekabbalah. So already in heaven, when he got the ksav from the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's like the Ribbono Shel Olam would throw a ring into a box that belongs to Klal Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu is the shlech lekabbalah. So he wouldn't be able to do any shtick the second time around. He wouldn't be able to prevent the kedushin from being chal. Okay. The Matan Torah, the Rambam says that there was no deed for Eidus Lekim Hadover. It's only after Matan Torah. So what about Bishas Matan Torah? I don't know. What's the reason why you need, the Gemara says, what is the reason why you need Eidus Lekim Hadover? Because Chav Lachrini means if I marry the girl, so no one else can marry the girl. So the Baruch Shalom chose the Bnei Yisrael as the Amman Ivchar. So that's Chav Lachrini. No one else can choose Bnei Yisrael. There's no one else around. There's no other power who can marry the Bnei Yisrael. No Chav Lachrini, so there's no need for Eidus Lekim Hadov in the stomach. When the Avnei Nezer was a little child, he was always very sharp. So the Esther Makasha as a child, how did Adam Arishan marry Chava? There was no Eidus Lekim Hadov. So he said, there was no Chav Lachrini. There's nobody else there. So there was no need. He said, the Gemara says the reason why you need Eidus Lekim Hadov is because Chav Lachrini. They have a lot of sharp vertla. The Gemara says Chav Lachrini, someone else could have married this girl. See, there's no other power who can marry Bnei Yisrael. There's no hefset to any other deity. There is no other deity. Einoid Melvadai. I don't know. Not sure what it means. I don't know. Beis Halevi has a long arichas. He doesn't explain what it means. He just says the original plan was there wasn't going to be any Torah Shebal Peh. Everything was going to be Torah Shebichsav. There is a Medrash Tanchuma on this week's parasha where they draw the contrast between the Luchas Rishonis and the Luchas Shnias, because the Luchas Rishonis were given with such publicity and such fanfare. That's why Shalta Behem Ayin Ra'o and Ayin Hara was Shailet, and that was smashed. The Luchas Shnias, Moshe Rabbeinu gave it Bitzinu. There was no longer Kolos Abrokim. It just came down quietly on Yom Kippur with the Luchas Shnias. That was given Bitzinu. Halamadata, the moral of the story is Shein Lucha Yofim and Atznius. Tznius, you see, the Medrash uses the word Tznius in the sense of Bitzinu as opposed to Farhesia. The Luchas Rishonis were given with Farhesia, with publicity. Luchas Shnias, we give Mitzina. So the Medrash is opposed to publicity, the opposite from the modern attitude. Everybody wants publicity. More correct is to have Tznias. There's a Yamshel Shlomo in the first perek in the Marshal writes in the Yamshel Shlomo, the first perek in Ksubis, that the minig is to smash a glass under the chuppah. So then Tashbeitz, the two Tashbeitzes. One was a Talmud of the Maharam Ritmer, Tashbeitz Kotten. Then there's Tshuva's Tashbeitz, that's someone else. So the Tashbeitz, the Talmud of the Maharam Ritmer, he has a famous comment that all the Minhagim of the Chasina are based on Maimon Hasina. Maimon Hasina was the Chasina between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael. That's how it's described in Shir HaShirim. So all the Minhagim of the Chasina are based on Maimon Hasina. So the Marshal writes in the Yamshel Shlomo, that smashing the glass under the chuppah is also zecha l'shviras haluchas. Why do we choose dafke glass? He quotes Midrashim that the luchas rishonis were some kind of glass. Luchas shnias were evan, ma'ila mazeh. Luchas rishonis was also evan, but it was a different kind of evan. It was some kind of a glass evan. So we smash a glass under the chuppah is zecha l'shviras haluchas. Why do you want to make a zecha l'shviras haluchas? That's what they quote from Nachman Breslaver also, that the Chosin says Torah by the Chosin's Tish, because all the Menhagim of the Chasana are patterned after Maimon Hasina, and the Ribbono Shel Olam said Torah. Ribbono Shel Olam is the Chosin, he said Torah, he said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So the chassan says ter. And they quote from Nachman Breslav, and how come the minig is that you mafsik the chassan in the middle? Zecha l'shmiras aluchas. So what is that supposed to be? What is that supposed to mean? Why do you want to make a zecha l'shmiras aluchas? So the marshal says that the smashing of the glass under the chuppah is zecha l'shmiras aluchas. So what is that supposed to represent? So he doesn't explain. So Rav Soloveitchik said, perhaps what it means is this lesson, that sometimes when people get married, so they think, oh, they're married, so everything is okay. So they'll kiss and hug in public, and they'll dance in public. They'll show, in a very extreme way, they'll show much affection for their wives. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, they quote an Eben Ezer, based on a Gemara in Baba Basra, that it's not proper to show strong affection in public. It doesn't mean you don't talk to your wife. It doesn't mean you shouldn't walk with your wife. There used to be a tzaddik lived in Bnei Brak, Rabbi Yamin HaTzaddik. Chazon Ish called Rabbi Yamin, Rabbi Yamin Zilber. So he wrote a sefer on Hilchas Shabbos many years ago, and then people sent him letters. He published a volume, Oz Nidbaru, the correspondence back and forth. He published around 18, 19, 20 volumes Oz Nidbaru, maybe more, I think. I stopped buying them at number 17, I think. I had them more than 17. And he published it. The original correspondence started about Hilchas Shabbos, about the Sefer. And then he was a big Talmid Chacham, so he wrote about Hilchas Shemitah and Hilchas Trumas and Mises and Kala Tarakula and all of Arba Chalkos Shulchan Aruch. So this, in one of those letters, in one of the letters in the Oz Nidbaru, so he writes that it's not proper that a husband and a wife should walk in public in Bnei Brak. They shouldn't walk together in public. And he gives three reasons. So one reason I forgot. One reason he says is because you're not allowed to show affection in public. So you're not allowed to walk with your wife in public. He's not talking about hand in hand even. Just talking, you're not allowed to walk next to your wife. Then he has the third reason is that there are so many unhappily married people, so you're causing them more aggravation. They're going to see you walking with your wife, lovey-dovey, talking to your wife, so they have enough hagmas nefesh that they don't get along, so you're going to walk with your wife, you're going to cause more hagmas nefesh. Maybe we'll show them the way to go. Maybe they should talk to their wives. Maybe they should take their wife for a walk also once in a while, and they will have shalom bayis. Very strange. So in Shulchan Aruch it says you're not allowed to show affection for your wife in public. Yeah. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that maybe that's the idea. We want to do zecha v'shviras haluchos. Why were the luchos smashed? Because it was b'farhesya, and it's preferable to do things b'tzina. A person should always lead a life of b'tzina, to try to do everything in an anonymous fashion, in a private fashion, not to do things publicly. So that's why we smashed the glass under the chuppah, because a lot of times people, after they're married, they think they have a license to do to show their love to their wives in public, and that's not proper. That can sometimes ruin their marriage. I remember we once attended a wedding. There was a young musmach from the yeshiva who was a character. So he was, as everybody was walking up from the chuppah to the room where the dinner was going to be served, so this guy was standing in the halls hugging his bride. He had just gotten married a month before. He's standing and smooching with his wife. So everybody's walking by, and they're all standing and looking, staring at the guy. Mashulina. So he turns around and he says, the 50 people, he says, it's legit, we're married. So I remember one of the women who was there said, this marriage is going to end up in a divorce. So 2 years later, they got divorced. It was stupid, but he has to show his love for his wife in public, to stand and hug her and kiss her in public. That's exactly what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that's not proper. To walk with your wife, that's the Yesh Mekilim. So those who say that that's not so serious an offense, that's not considered showing such love for your wife.
What about the minhag to hold hands on the way back from the chuppah?
The Rishonim had that minhag. Ki yikachi shisha. The Balei HaTos said, ki yikachi, he has to grab her. There were two minhagim, whether they walked back from the chuppah arm in arm or hand in hand. So some said it has to be hand in hand. Chazan has to hold. Okay, a little bit. But also, that's not showing affection just to hold your wife's hand in the street. I don't think that's showing affection. Sometimes it's important that children should see how to treat a wife. A lot of the children from homes where the husband was abusive carry over the minhag of saying b'yadeh. They're abusive husbands also. They understand that that's the way it's supposed to be. So that's terrible. So maybe it's important for Chinuch HaBonim that the parents show love for each other in front of their own children. Okay, so that's part of the Chinuch. The Chumash describes Moshe Rabbeinu as davening twice. It's a little unclear what exactly did he daven twice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Lech rei kishicha samcha shehotzeisa mi'eretz Mitzrayim. And then Vato hanichali. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Vato hanichali, leave me alone, v'yichar api b'hem v'achalein, and I will wipe them out. So what do you mean, Ato hanichali, leave me alone? So Rashi says, Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, Pasach lo pesach, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, oi, don't daven to me. If you're going to daven, you're going to twist my arm, you're going to force me to not to punish them. Leave me alone and let me get angry. So as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu heard that Adava Tali Di, if I'm going to daven, I'll force the Ribbono Shel Olam not to wipe them out. Vaychal Moshe is Pnei Hashem Alakov. The Gemara says, Vaychal is Miloshem Choyla. Moshe Rabbeinu Ginujit, he davened so much, he weakened the Ribbono Shel Olam. When you have sometimes a nudnik who pesters you, he weakens you. So Moshe Rabbeinu davened so much to Ribbono Shel Olam, ki ilu ki vayachol, atche hechleihu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, till he made the Ribbono Shel Olam weak. He weakened him from so much davening. So he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then he comes down with the luchas, and then Ribbono Shel Olam says, vayinochem Hashem ha'har shadibel la'asos la'amor, v'yifam v'yard Moshe min ha'har shnei luchas v'edus b'yod ha'shayin. Then you read in Parshas Ekev, Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the luchas, and then he went up to daven for 40 days and 40 nights. So what did he daven a second time for? It says that he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, vayinochem Hashem al ha'ra. So what do you have to daven again? Salachti kidvaracha, isn't that what happened the first time? So obviously that's not what happened. Apparently, the first time Moshe Rabbeinu just said, put everything on hold. Don't wipe out the Bnei Yisrael right away. So the Baruch Shalom said, vayinochem Hashem al ha'ra. The Baruch Shalom is going to destroy them. V'ata hanichali v'ichar apipem v'achaleim. So then Moshe Rabbeinu asks, wait a while, don't destroy them right away. So the Baruch Shalom agrees. But then Moshe Rabbeinu goes up and he's mispalt for 40 days and 40 nights that he should forgive them. So then the Pasuk says, Salachti kidvarecha. That was a different tefillah. That took 40 days. This only took 5 minutes. Vayichal Moshe, this was very brief. On a tiny seaboard, we lay in Vayichal. So the way we divide the psukim, the Levi only gets 3 psukim. The Gemara says that every aliyah, the Gemara says in Megillah, every aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim, and the sum total of the Kriyas HaTorah, Sheni V'Chamishi, has to have a minimum of 10 psukim. That means that one of the 3 people has to get 4 psukim. So the Gemara says, the one who gets the 4 psukim is a more choshev aliyah than the one who gets the 3. So if the kohen gets the 4, so he wins the prize. If the lady gets the 4 psukim, he wins. If the Israel, if the shlishi gets, good for him. So preferable would be that all 3 should get the 4 psukim. If you only have 10 psukim, so only one is going to get 4 psukim. If you're going to have 12 psukim, so all 3 can get 4 psukim. So as it turns out, the kohen gets more than four psukim. The Levi only gets 3 psukim. And then the Shlishi gets a ton of psukim. So Rabbi Baruch Epstein was a Levi. Baruch HaLevi Epstein, the one who wrote the Torah Tmimah. He wrote this long autobiography. Goes on and on and on forever. 3 volumes of an autobiography. So he writes that he had an uncle. His father's brother was a Levi. So whenever he would get an aliyah on a tiny sibur, he would not say Ashenas Alanu until the Balkare would lay him another pasuk. Do me something. He refused to say the bracha after the aliyah. He said, why should they cheat me? Give me 4 psukim. He saw us getting a ton of psukim. Gets more than enough. He had a lot of characters in his family. He writes about the Netziv's wife. Netziv's wife was older than him. He writes a lot of stories about him. In the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, you have the mitzvah of Machtes HaShekel, which is a mitzvah that's only supposed to be Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayam. for the purpose of purchasing the karbanas tzibur, the tmidim and musafim. You can't just get one wealthy balabas to give all the money and hang up the sign, all the karbanas were donated this year from Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so. It's dafke, it has to be dafke ayidei machzis ha-shekel. In the Chumash, they're talking about giving machzis ha-shekel for the purpose of taking a census. If you're going to take a census by counting the people, then chalila there'll be a negev, there'll be a magefa. So to take a census, beheter, you have to give machzis ha-shekel, and for the purpose of the census, you want to know only the men from the age of 20 and up, because you only drift into the army people over the age of 20. Kol yadzei tzavo b'Yisrael. So that's from the age of 20 and up. What about for the purpose of machzis ha-shekel to support the karbanas tzibur? So this is a machlokes rishonim in the Mefarshim on the Mishnayos Shkolim, based on two girsas in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi talks about it explicitly. So half of the Rishonim had a girsa that machzis ha-shekel is also only from the age of 20 and up, and the other Rishonim had the girsa, no, that's a machzis ha-shekel for the census for the army. You only draft people from the age of 20 and up. That's how Rashi writes in the beginning of Bamidbar. Only Mibedas Mishon of the Mala, younger than 20, and not drafted into the army. But for the purpose of the mitzvah machzis ha-shekel, that you should buy the karbanas tzibur from the machzis ha-shekel, that even from the age of bar mitzvah and up. The women are also not mechuyev to give machzis ha-shekel. The Mishnah says if a woman wants to volunteer, we will accept it. But the women are not mechuyev to give machzis ha-shekel. A nochri wants to volunteer machzis ha-shekel, we would not accept it. The Mishnah says in Shkolim, a nochri can only donate something that's bought by Neder and Adova. Neder and Adova, Noilo, Shlomim. Chatos is not bought by Neder and Adova. Korban Pesach is not bought by Neder and Adova. You're not mechuyev, you can't do it. So the machzis ha-shekel also is not bought by Neder and Adova, so we cannot accept from a nochri. No donations can be accepted. So how come a woman can donate? The woman is not mechuyev, how can she can donate? So Ms. Damada has veriz, a woman is not the same as a nochri. A nochri is not mechuyev at all. A woman has the same degree of Kedushas Yisrael that a man has. HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed the Har Sinai, Chosem Elevesi Anke V'Sagid Levenei Yisrael, Atem Tiyuli Mamlechas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. So Moshe Feinstein points out, the Goy Kadosh is both to Bnei Yankiv, Chosem Elevesi Yaakov is the women, V'Sagid Levenei Yisrael Elu HaNoshim. And he told them equally, the Goy Kadosh, the women have the same level of Kedusha as the men. And Kedusha is not an abstract concept. Kedusha means Kedushan b'mitzvahs of Itzivanu. A person has Kedusha Yisrael, means he's Mechuyev b'mitzvahs. When we say Eser Kedusha Tehim, there are 10 levels of Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah in the first parak in Kelim lists off, Eretz HaMekodesh is Pikol HaRotus, and he gives you an Afkemina Ledina. Ayoras Amakavus Chaim have more Kedusha than the rest of Eretzel, gives you an Afkemina Ledina. Each step in the way, the Mishnah tells you, Kedusha means that you have certain mitzvahs that can only be fulfilled in that Kedusha's Mokim. We say Kohanim have Kedusha's Kohuna, they have more Kedusha than Yisraelim. That's why they're Mukhiv to do additional mitzvahs. When the Kohen recites a Broche over Duchening and over Hakrobas Hakrabonis, and all the other mitzvahs of Kuna, he says, "Asher Kedushan b'Kedushasu Shalar Mitzivanu." The Baruch Hashem Yisrael B'Yava. He has to say Kedushan. He has more Kedush. More Kedush means mechuyev and more mitzvahs. So the Nochri doesn't have a Kedushas Yisrael at all. So he's not mechuyev and mitzvahs at all. The Noshim have the same level of Kedushas Yisrael as the men, except that they were exempted from certain mitzvahs. They don't want to do them. They don't have to. So the women really have the Kedushas Yisrael, which means they have the chiyuv to give machzis ha-shekel, but they have an exemption. If they don't want it, they don't have to. But if they decide they want to give it, they're fulfilling the chiyuv that initially they should have had. Theoretically, they should have had, and they do have. They have the Kedushas Yisrael, which is mechayev, but they have a ptur. The Rabbi Natam, the Ashkenazim, follow the Rabbi Natam that women recite the Birchas HaMitzvah on the Tilos Lulav and on Tkiyah Shofar. How can they say Kedushana b'mitzvahs of Itzivanu? It's not true. So the answer is it is true. They didn't tell the whole truth. The whole truth is Kedushana b'mitzvahs of Itzivanu uftaranu. But that's not relevant. Why should they say the whole truth? They say part of the truth, Kedushana b'mitzvahs of Itzivanu. And they want to shake a Lulav because they have the Kedushis Yisrael. That's mechayev. If they have a hitch, if they don't want to, they don't have to. But if they want to volunteer it, it's not like a nochri who's going to shake a lulav. Nochri shakes a lulav, he has no kedushas yisrael at all. That's legamri eina mitzvah v'yaseh. If the woman is going to volunteer, that's called eina mitzvah v'yaseh, but it's not to the same extent as a nochri. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. According to the Rambam, an Eved Kenayni has the same dinim as Isha, is not mechayiv in the mitzvah, says the Shazman Groma. So he said, but it's not exactly the same. You learn gzeirah sheva lo lo me'isha, that just like the women are exempt from the mitzvah, says the Shazman Groma. So the same is true regarding the Eved Kenayni, but he said there's a difference. The Rambam says an Eved Kenayni has a mitzvah kedushas Yisrael, but it doesn't have the full kedushas Yisrael. So with respect to the mitzvah, says the Shazman Groma, the Eved Kenayni doesn't have a kedushas Yisrael. He's like a nochri. The Isha has a full kedushas Yisrael, but she has a ptur. Let's say if an Eved Kenayni would want to volunteer to give machzah shekel, we wouldn't accept it. It's like an ochri. If an Isha volunteers, the Mishnah says you do accept. Eved Kenayni, you wouldn't accept. So Leitchik pointed out that Tosfos doesn't seem to hold like that. Tosfos seems to hold that an Eved Kenayni has a full kedushas Yisrael with a ptur from the mitzvah says the Shazman Grom. The same as we say by women. But he says, according to the Rambam, it's not the same. Isha has a full Kedushas Yisrael, and the Eved Kenayni only has Kedushas Yisrael to the extent that he's mechuyev in the mitzvahs. What if a katan wants to volunteer to give machzah shekel, so the Mishnah says you accept it? There's a shala, how can you accept it? A katan is Allah bardas. How can he donate? How can he be magdish a machzah shekel? So the Mishnah is not clear. So according to those Rishonim who hold that till the age of 20, one is not mechuyev to give machzah shekel, so he's already a bardas after the age of bar mitzvah. So maybe the Mishnah says that the kotten who gives machzah shekel, we accept it. Maybe that goes, he's over 13 and he's younger than 20. So he's not mechuyev to give machzah shekel, but he has a full kedushas Yisrael. So if he wants to volunteer, so he's a bardas, he can be magdish. What do you do according to the other Rishonim though? That's the kasha the Ktzai Sarchoshin asked. What do you do according to the other Rishonim who hold that a cotton right after bar mitzvah is already mechuyev to give machzah shekel? So when the Mishnah says if a cotton wants to volunteer, you accept, he's going cotton before bar mitzvah. Before bar mitzvah he's a lot bar das. How can it be magdish the machzah shekel? Unless he said that it's only talking after in the last year. Mufal asamach liish, the year before bar mitzvah, a girl becomes bar mitzvah at 12, starting from the age of 11 on. And the boy becomes by mitzvah 13, so a year before the age of 12 on, that's a din of mufla samach liish. So the din is the dar of nivdokim. If he takes a neder of a shvua, you have to interview him or her and see if they knew what they were talking about. So if they knew what they were talking about, then the dar machal. So he has the ability to be makabel neder and naziris. He has the ability to be magdish things mufla samach liish. So that'll also be a shaila. There's a machloikis and the gemara. And a machloikas, the Rambam and the Ravid had a paskin whether that din of mufla samach liish is a din deraisa or a din derabbanan. If it's a din deraisa, so it's nicha. The mufla samach liish, the year before bar mitzvah, he can donate, he can be magdish a machzah shekel, and it's kodesh. But if the old mufla samach liish is only derabbanan, so how do we accept that it's like he's donating a machzah shekel? The Mishnah says the machzah shekel is not bob ben edim and edov. How can that be? So the Ktzai Sarchoshin asked this kash. So he answers it by quoting, this is a very famous Ktzai Sachoshin. The Ktzai Sachoshin quotes the Beis Yosef in Eben Ezer, discusses Maimat Shloshtan. Maimat Shloshtan is a Takana de Rabbana. Maimat Shloshtan means the Chosn forgot to bring the ring to the Chuppah. He left it, so he's afraid he's going to forget the ring, so he gave it to the best man. He tells the best man, you bring the ring to the best man forgot to bring the ring to the chuppah. So everybody's standing under the chuppah, the chosn, the kala, and the best man. So he says, Rabbi says, where's the ring? Chosn looks to the best man, where's the ring? He left it home. So the Beis Yosef quotes to Rabbeinu Yerucham, no problem. The chosn says to the kala, Hare mukudesh asli, with the ring that's in his home. And she's kaina, the ring bidin maimat shloshlam. If you have a pikodin that belongs to me, And we're Maimon Shloshtan, all three of us are here, the Naisen and the Mekabel and the Shoima who's holding on to it. So the Gemara says, I made a Takana the Rabbanan, that you can be Makna the Chayfetz to the Mekabel Matan, Ayidei Maimon Shloshtan. So Maimon Shloshtan is a Takana the Rabbanan. So Rabbi Yerucham says, Rabbi Yerucham is a Talmud of the Rosh, Ben Yeruchim says the woman will be mekudeshes midirabbanan. She won't be an eshes ish deraisa. She'll only be mekudeshes midirabbanan because the whole kinyan maimash loshdan is only midirabbanan. The Beis Yosef disagrees with the Rabbi Yeruchim. He says, what do you mean? All the takanas derabbanan in the area of dinim amenus work minatayra because of the principle of hefker bez nehefker. The Gemara says hefker bez nehefker is based on psukim in Tanakh, some psukim in Chumash, some psukim in Navi. So hefker bez nehefker works minatayra. So the Beis Yosef thinks that the woman will be mekudeshes minatayra. So the Ksos HaChoshen thinks that the Beis Yosef is right, that hefker bez nehefker works minatayra. And then he says, Memela now is farenfa de kasha and the Mishnah and Shkolim. How can the Mishnah and Shkolim say that the cotton who donates machzah shekel, we accept it? You're going to tell me it's only 1 year, the year before bar mitzvah? Doesn't sound like it. Sounds like it's years before. Sounds like it's more than 1 year before. There's simple reading in the Mishnah. So how can we accept from the cotton? So he says, the Teretz says, because they made a takana de Rabbanan that a cotton mikra mekech memkera memka b'metalton. They made a takana de Rabbanan that the cotton can be makna. So since they made a takana de Rabbanan and it's based on hefke bez nehefke, hefke bez nehefke is ma'atayra, so the hegdish is coin in the money ma'atayra. That's what the Ktzos HaChoshen for emphasis is kash. The Nesivis has a famous comment. He says the Beis Yosef is wrong. The Ksais is wrong, and the Rabbi Yeruchim is right. He says that Hefke Bez Nehefke works Manatar only to be Mafkir. Just like the guy himself can be Mafkir. I can declare my property should become Hefker. So the Bezna has a right to be Mafkir, my property. Usually, Ein on a Mafkir, Dovash Ein Shaloi. So Bezna has the right to declare as if they are the Bailim. So just like the Bailim have the ability to be Mafkir B'dibur, so the Bezna can also be Mafkir B'dibur. But to be makna lacherin, even the Bailim himself can't be makna lacherin without a maisa kinyan. So how could the Bezin be makna lacherin without a maisa kinyan? So the Nesiva says that Rabbi Yeruchim is right, that hefke bez nehefke works on two areas. To declare my they declare my jacket is ownerless, so that works menatara. But to declare that the jacket that belongs to me now belongs to you, that kinyan only works with the Rabbanan. It works, but it only works with the Rabbanan, doesn't work menatara. So the Nesiva says the answer that the Ktzos gave, that since they gave the Chachamim gave me the Rabbanon with the power of Hefker Bez Nehefker, they gave the Koyach to the Kotten to be Makne to others, but that Koyach is only with the Rabbanon. In our Torah, the Kotten doesn't have the ability. Hefker Bez Nehefker doesn't go that far. So how do you understand the Mishnah in Shkolim that a Kotten can donate Machzah Shekel? So the Nesiva says, no, the answer is a different answer. Where do you put your Machzah Shekel? So the Mishnah says there were 13 shofars in the Beis Hamikdash. Shofar means a gigantic pushka. So there were 13 shofars. One of them said taklin charetin, shkolim chadoshim. One said taklin atikin. Whoever didn't pay machzah shekel 20 years ago, and said, guy's a bal tshuva. At the age of 85, he becomes bal tshuva. He hasn't given machzah shekel for the last 25 years. So he goes to the taklin atikin pushka, and he puts in all the money for the machzah shekel from the last 25 years. So the Nesiva says when the Kotten puts his Machzah Shekel money in the Pushkin, the Beis Hamikdash, in the Shofar that says Taklan Charetin, so Hefker Bezna Hefker declares that the money becomes Hefker. But how does it become Hegdishes? So Hegdish is kind of with the Kinya Chotzer. The din is Kelov Shaladam Akoine Mitam Kinya Chotzer. So if you put the money in the Pushkin, so Hefker Bez Nehefker makes it becomes Hefker. The moment it's Hefker, so Hegdish is Zeichem and Hefker with a Kinya Chatz. That's what the Nesiva answers.
Can the
guy
do the same? So
it's a Pella. The guy can do the same thing. Well, they never made a Takana that the guy should become Hefker. But the whole thing doesn't make any sense. The Halacha says that you cannot donate money to Hegdish. First of all, there's a Tesis in Bava Basra. But Tosfos claims the way they read the Gemara that Hegdish is not kind of with the Kinyan Chotzer. There's a famous Gemara in Bava Basra on Daf Pei Aleph where the Gemara says Hegdish Bor Minismale Mayim, a person is Magdish a Bor, an empty pit, and it's going to collect rainwater. So then after he's Magdish it, it fills up with water. It's pouring, fills up with water. So it says if someone will be Moil, someone will drink the water of Hegdish, there won't be any Din Me'ilah. Moilim b'bor, mei moilim b'mayim. Why is there no mila on the mayim? Hegdash should be kind of with the water, with the kinyan chotzer, just like the private person is kind of the water that rains in into his bar with the kinyan chotzer. Let Hegdash be kind of also. And why shouldn't there be a din of me'ilo? So Tosfos answers, because Hegdash is not kind of with the kinyan chotzer. The Ramban there disagrees with the Tosfos, the Ramban of Baba Basra, and he says, no, Hegdash is kind of with the kinyan chotzer, but it's a secular bailus, it's a secular ownership. There's only a violation of Me'ila if something has Kedushas Hegdash. If something is Mamon Hegdash, it doesn't have Kedushas Hegdash. Hegdash acquired ownership of the water through a secular Kinyan of Kinyan Chatzah, so there's no Kedushas Hegdash. If someone would donate a bottle of water, someone is Magdash Kedushas Peh, so he endows the water with Kedushas, but it just rains and Hegdash is coming with Kinyan Chatzah, there's Mamon Hegdash without Kedushas Hegdash. But Tosfos says that Hegdash is not coming with Kinyan Chatzah, so that's the Magen Avraham quotes that the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses quotes that Tosfos la'alocha, and Rabbi Kivegis says he's not so convinced that we should follow the Magen Avraham. Maybe we should pask like the Ramban. So that's one question on the Nesivos. He says Kinyan Chatzah works, but the main question is what you're asking. Even if Hegdash would be kind of with a Kinyan Chatzah, but that's not called Mamon Machzah Shekel. It doesn't have Kedushas Hegdash. It's just Mamon Hegdash with a Kinyan Chatzah. The same kashan what the Ktzai said. The Ktzai says, once you declare Hefke Bezna Hefke works Min HaTorah, and therefore the Hegdash is Kaina Min HaTorah. Hegdash is Kaina based on a secular Kinyan of Hefke Bezna Hefke. That's not Kedushas Hegdash. For Machzah Shekel purposes, you have to have, they should have Kedushas Domim Lamizbeah. You have to be Magdash it for the purpose of bringing Karbonis Tzibur with it. If Hegdash is Kaina with a secular Kinyan Hefke Bezna Hefke, the kind of with a secular Kinyan of Kinyan Chotzer, that's not acceptable. Then a Nochri should be able to donate also, and the Hegdash will be kind of with a Kinyan Chotzer about it. So they're both difficult, it's very difficult. How can it be that the Kotten is donating? So others say maybe it means there's a Mishnah in the Dorim that let's say I am obligated to give Machzah Shekel and I can't afford it. I don't earn enough money to give Machzah Shekel. So the Mishnah Nedarim says, my next door neighbor can be, if he wants to be kind to me, he can give the Machzah Shekel on my behalf. That's called Shokol or Shiklo. Even if I took a net and not to get an offer from him, so the Mishnah says, he can be Shokol or Shiklo. He can donate the Machzah Shekel on my behalf. And I'm Yotzei, and the Hegdash will send me a letter. Your Machzah Shekel has been taken care of. Someone gave it on my behalf. That's a din by all karbonis. The Gemara says, let's say a person was Mechal Shabbos B'shoiging and has to bring a karbon chatas and he can't afford it. So the Gemara says, there is an institution, learn that from Sukkim, someone else can be Magdish, Amanashi is Kapa Bochaver. Someone else can donate the karbon chatas, Magdish the karbon chatas, and they bring it to the Kanam based on Magdish, and they say, offer it on behalf of Pliny, not on my behalf. So here also, Shokolo Shiklo, someone else can donate the Machzah Shekel on my behalf. So maybe what the Mishnah says, that a Kotten Shoshokal, we accept that the Kotten is a lot badass. How can it be Magdash? So maybe what it means is that a Godel is donating on behalf of the Kotten. Shokolo Shiklo. So then you can accept it Min HaTorah. But the two suggestions, the suggestion of the Ktzais with the suggestion of the Nesivos, they're both very difficult. Those are secular Kinyonim. Hefke Bezna Hefke and Kinyan Chatzah secular Kinyanim. That's not going to endow the money with Kedushas Machzah Shekel. The Simen Shin Hei in Yeridea, that's the Simen that has all the dinim of Pinyan Aben. So there's a Ramor quotes in the name of the Rivosh that no one else can do Pinyan Aben. Either the father has to do the Pinyan Aben or the child himself. But let's say the father's not alive and the Bezin wants to give, someone else wants to give Pinyan Aben, so the Ramah quotes the Rivosh, he can't do that. And the Shach disagrees, and he says, why not? You never heard of Perei Chovish Al Chavero? You have a Mishnayis, and in the end of Ksubis, someone pays a Chov on behalf of someone else. So finally, Avi Aben owes the money to the Kohen, so let someone else pay on his behalf. So the Vilna Gaon also agrees. Vilna Gaon writes, look in the Shach, that the Shach is right, someone else can pay. And the proof that they quote is, Shokolo Shiklo. The Shaila was like this. The Mishlam Melech has a suffix regarding Parei Chovish Al Chavero. Maybe what the Mishnah means, let's say I owe you $100 and someone else gives you the money, so now you have no right to ask me for the money. So the Mishlam Melech is not sure where the pshat is the other person can make a piron achov, the chov is parua, or no, maybe the only one who can make a piron achov is the one who's mechuyev, and the other fellow gives you a matana of $100 ala tanai. It's self understood as ala tanai that you moichel me the chayv of $100. Maybe perechov shel chavera doesn't accomplish a piron. Maybe it's only an understood an umder de muchach that is moichel on the chayv. So Rabbi Chana Vassaman quotes this right from Rabbi Shimon Shkot. The Mishnah says, Shokolo Shiklo, someone else can give Machta Shekel on my behalf. If the Pshat is that no one else can make a Piran Achayv on my behalf, the only thing is that it's an Umdina that he's Moichel. So how is the Gizbar Shal Hegdish, how is he authorized to be Moichel me because someone else is giving a donation? Machta Shekel doesn't accept any donations. It's not Bob Ben Adam and Adova. So don't you see from this Mishnah of Shokolo Shiklo that HaPerechol V'Shochabera is Parua. It's not Stama Matana B'Yalma on the understanding that he's going to be Moichel to me. This is what Rabbi Chana Kavasman quotes that he heard from Rabbi Shkimin this time. So the truth of the matter is that you can answer the Kasha the way we explained before. Shokolo Shiklo is not a word of Perechol V'Shochabera. Shokolo Shiklo is an Inyan of Magdash Almanashi is Kapabo Chavero. The Gemara in Nazir learns that from Psukim that such an institution exists. That if someone was Machal Shabbos B'Shoking and is obligated to bring a Chatos, so even if he's not Magdish, someone else could be Magdish the Chatos, Amanoshi is Kappa Bo Chavera. Someone else, let's say, they know that I need a Korban Pesach, I have a wife and a whole big family, and I can't afford to bring a Korban Pesach. I'm trying to figure out where am I going to get money. So someone buys a Korban Pesach for me, and they send a note to my home, a Korban Pesach has been purchased on your behalf, and go take it, it's number 4,081, whatever. They have all these Korbanos Pesach lined up. So that's good. The Gemara learns that from a Pasuk. There's such a thing as Magdish, Amanashi is Kapa Bo Chavera. So the fact that a Shokolo Shikla doesn't necessarily show that Perecho V'Shal Chavera is Perua. It's not a word of Piran Achav. It's Hagdoshas Kudushas Domim La Mizbeach. Maybe it's a word of Magdish, Amanashi is Kapa Bo Chavera. That's in fact the Mishnah records. During the period of the Bayi Sheni, there were quite a few disputes between the Tzdukim and the Prushim. The Gemara doesn't record, the Gemara probably does not record all of them. The Gemara records a few, not all. So one of the disputes that they had, one was on Yom Kippur, how do you do the Avodah? When does he put the Ketores on top of the Gecholim? When he's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim or before he enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So every Yom Kippur, they would make the Kohen Gadol swear that he's not going to do like the Tzdukim, he's going to do the way Chachamim had the tradition. So that's one machlokes that's recorded. Then the Mishnah in Shkolim records there was a machlokes about Machzal Shekel. So the Chachamim had the tradition, you cannot have one person donate $5 million and put up a sign, a plaque, all the Karbonis this year are funded by Mr. and Mrs. That they paid for all the Karbonis. The Halacha says that it has to be dafka through the collection of the Machzal Shekel. So why did the Tzedukim think that it is acceptable? So the Chazon Ish writes, they thought it's a regular din of Magdash Almanashi's Kapa Bachavera. Just like you can do it on the level of a private carbon yochid, a yochid is mukhayev in a carbon, so his next Tanebi can be a good Samaritan and be Magdash a carbon on his behalf. Magdash Almanashi's Kapa Bachavera. So the Tzedukim thought the same is true regarding the Karbonas Tzibur. You can do the same thing. One person, one wealthy balabas, will donate all the money for all the karbonis. Hamanoshi is kapa b'chaver. I'm here for all the klal Yisrael. So that's what the chachamim had a tradition that it doesn't work by the karbonis tiba. They learned that from the psukim tishmeru loshen rabim tishmeru l'hakrili b'mayadai means that everybody has to participate. You can't have one person donate all of the money. The Aruch HaShulchan has a whole set of Svarim, Aruch HaShulchan on the Arba Chalka Shulchan Aruch. Then he has a bigger set that's called Aruch HaShulchan HaOsid. So what's going to be with Trumas and Maisus and Hakravas HaKarbonas? He has a bigger set of Aruch HaShulchan HaOsid. So he writes there in Hilchos Shkolim, he writes to him, it's a double pasha that the Jews who live in Chutz Lords are not mechuyev to give Machzal Shekel. Why not? So he says, Machzal Shekel is a chayves ha-tzibur. And the Iker Tzirov of the Tzibur only applies to the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. That's how he interprets the Tosfos in the beginning of Psachim. The Gemara tells a story that there was a non-Jew who was bragging to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira that he fools all the rabbis when he goes to Yerushalayim on Dav Gimel Amud Beis. When he goes to Yerushalayim, he always participates in the Korban Pesach, and he knows that he's not allowed to, and he fooled them all. So Rabbi Yehuda Miseris said, I don't think you fooled them. Did they ever give you the yalya, the fatty tail? So he says, no. So he says, because they know that you're not Jewish. If they would have thought you were Jewish, you would have once gotten the fatty tail. Obviously, they have your number, know that you're not Jewish. And the next time he went to be Ola Regal to go participate in Korban Pesach, and they were cutting up the Korban Pesach, he said he wants the fatty tail. So he said, what are you talking about? The fatty tail is burnt on the Mizbech. Nobody eats it. He says, no, I want the fatty tail. Rabbi Yehuda ben Miseret told me to ask for the fatty tail. So they made an investigation. They found out he was a goy, and they killed him. A strange Gemara. Why'd they kill him? It's a difficult passage in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, they sent a message to Rabbi Yehuda ben Miseret. You live in the Tzivan. You live so far away from Yerushalayim. Umutsudoscha prusa b'Yerushalayim. And you set a trap in Yerushalayim to catch the Nochrim. They caught him. So Taisus asked, why didn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Miseret come to participate in Korban Pesach? Should have come for Pesach, and he would have told him. Why didn't he have to set a whole trap? So it sounds from the Gemara, he didn't go. Why not? So Taisus says, maybe he was an old sick man. He wasn't healthy enough to travel to Yerushalayim. Or maybe Netzivin is Chutz Loretz. Taisus is not sure. Some Gemara seem to imply Netzivin is an Eretz Yisrael. Maybe there are two cities Netzivin. Maybe there are two Rabbi Yehuda ben Miseret. They're not sure exactly about the history over here. So Taisus says, maybe Netzivin is a Chutz Loretz, and that's the halacha. Only those who live in Eretz Yisrael are obligated to participate in Korban Pesach. Whoever lives in Chutz Loretz is not mechuyev. So they have printed on the bottom of the page, look in the Mishlei Melech, who writes, Soif Dovid Dibra Taisus Eilu Mitchilas Van Soifam Tzrichim Etzli Talmud. Mishlei Melech says the whole Taisus doesn't make any sense. There is no such din that a Jew lives in Chutz Loretz not mechuyev to participate in Korban Pesach. There is no such din. It's a Gemara later, one who lives in Chutz Loretz not mechuyev to be Eilu Regel. That's a Gemara in the first parak. Later on, on Daf Ches, on the base, the Gemara has a pasuk like that. But the Gemara never said, you're not mechuyev in Korban Pesach. You're not Oyla Regal on Shavuos and Sukkot. But Korban Pesach, why not? So that's what Dorach HaShulchan writes. He thinks that that's a double pasuk like that. We have sources in the Tosefta that the practice used to be that the Jews used to come from Arba Kampus Haaretz. They would come from Europe and Asia and Africa. They would all travel to participate in Korban Pesach. But he thinks they're not mechuyev to. He thinks Mikra Adin, whoever doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael, is not mechuyev to participate because Korban Pesach, the Gemara says, is called a Korban Tzibur. And the Iket Tziruf of the Tzibur only applies to those who live in Eretz Yisrael. That's the Gemara in the beginning of Hoirias. The Gemara says, commenting on the Pasuk in Melochim, it says when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, that it was a tremendous crowd of people gathered together. Kohol Godol Melevoch HaMos Ad Nacham Mitzrayim. For the northernmost point in Eretz Yisrael to the southernmost point in Eretz Yisrael, everybody came. So the Gemara says, you see from the Mashmos of that Pasuk, that Kohol only relates to those who live in Eretz Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz Loretz are second-rate citizens, the Jewish, but they're not really part of the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael. So that's what Dor HaShulchan thinks. Any mitzvah that has to do with the Tzibur, like Machtza Shekel and Korban Pesach, so the Jews in Chutz Loretz are not mechuyev to do that. They can volunteer. You see from the Tosefta, they used to come. Before Pesach, many people would come from all over the world. But strictly speaking, they're not mechuyev to. So that's interesting. In the beginning of the Baisheni period, hardly anybody went on Aliyah. The 45,000 Jews went back there. It's all the overwhelmed, the millions and millions of Jews lived in Babel stayed behind. So when they gave Machtza Shekel, how was that enough money to fund all the Karbanos Tzibur? If there was hardly anybody giving any money. So the Rebbe writes in Nichol Shkolim on the Rambam, that's why the Mishnah says that every year the Bezna has to determine how much money you have to give this year for Machtza Shekel. It wasn't always Machtza Shekel. Machtza Shekel is the minimum. You can never get away with giving less than Machtza Shekel. But usually they had to declare, the din is HaOshel LaYarba VaHadala Yamid, no one's allowed to give more or less than the amount that the Bezna determines. But it's not that you're not allowed to give more than Machtza Shekel. Ruba de Ruba of the years, it was way more than Machtza Shekel. Bez Nagar will have to determine, this year Machtza Shekel is $15 each person. This year Machtza Shekel is $80 each person. They have to figure out whether this coming year is going to be Hashanah Pshuta, Hashanah Muberes. Is going to have 12 months or 13 months. In 13 months, you're going to need more karbonas. They have to figure out how much the price of the behemoth is going to be. You have to be. You have to understand the economics. You have to know business, whether the price of behemoths is going to go up. Then they have to ask the experts in fundraising what percentage of the people will give the money on time. When you make a collection for tzedakah, there's always a percentage of people who don't want to give. A percentage of people who give, they'll give taklum natikin. They'll give it 5 years from now. They'll pay the machta shekel. So the fundraisers know how to figure out. So based on how many people, and you can only rely on the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. Jews who live in Chutz are not mechuyev to give. Maybe some of them will give, but they're not mechuyev to give the way the Aruch HaShulchan writes. So that's what the Ravid writes. In the beginning of the period of the Bayi Sheni, there were hardly any Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, just a handful of Jews. And they had to pay the whole amount for all the machta shekel to cover all the need for the karbonis for the whole year. So that's what the Pasuk says in Ezra, that they had to give darkona shells up. They had to give big golden coins. They couldn't get away with just giving machta shekel. They had to give a fortune of money, because it was a small group of people that had to pay for all the karbonis for the whole year. So they were taxed. They had to give much more. The minimum is going to be machta shekel, but usually it's going to be way more than that. How much is machta shekel? How much is pinyon aben? It's 5 shekel. How much is pinyon aben? So the Chazanish's opinion is known. He says that pinyon aben is 96 grams of pure silver. So how much is machza shekel? Is 1/10 of that. Half of 1 shekel in pinyon aben is 5 shekel. So you divide 96 grams by 10. That's 9.6 grams of pure silver. That every year that's going to change. How much is the value of silver any given year is going to change? So that's the minimum that that everybody has to give. The bezin every year would determine, would establish how much money everybody has to give for the purpose of the machtas hashekel. When does the fiscal year begin in the bezin? What do you mean? The karbanas every year have to come from the truma chadasha, for the new machtas hashekel. So the Gemara learns out from Sukkim that the fiscal year in the bezin Hamikdash begins from Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So that's why a month before, the Gemara has in the first parak in Megillah, Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag Shalom V'Doshim Behuchas Achag. So the Gemara says, because Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag, because of that din, that's why you have to announce 30 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Dahayinu Rosh Chodesh Adar, Mashmim, Be'echad Adar, Mashmim Al Hashkolim. If it's a Shana Muberis, so you start Echad Vodur Sheni. 30 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you announce everybody has to start putting away money and donating for the machta shekel. You see from the Gemara that the din of Shloshim Yom Kodem Machag is not only a din in Yontif. Machta shekel is not a din of Yontif. Means when there's a mitzvah that comes every day, you have to like tefillin every day. So you got to know every day how to like tefillin. When there's a mitzvah that comes once in a long while, he's sitting in Sukkot, blowing shofar. So the din says that 30 days before you have to already plan and figure out and prepare how you're going to do the mitzvah. There's a guy lives in Hawaii, and he doesn't prepare in advance. Comes Sukkot, he doesn't have a Sukkot. This comes Rosh Hashanah, doesn't have a shofar. You're going to say he's pater. He doesn't have onus rachmana patri. No, he's not an onus. The halacha says that 30 days before he has to start figuring out where he's going to be. It's a tkiyah shofar. Whenever you have a mitzvah, bom is man as man machza shekel. The mitzvah begins for Shchodesh Nissan. You have to think a month in advance. How am I going to take care of this machza shekel then? The question of Aynas, okay. But the halacha still says that 30 days before if it's a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah. So the Gemara said 30 days before you have to start preparing. The Beis Yosef in the beginning of Hilchas Pesach quotes the din, Shloshim Yom Kodem HaPesach, Shana V'Doshim Hilchas HaPesach. He writes, he's not sure whether the din only applies to Pesach, because Hilchosav Merubim, there's so many dinim in Pesach, all Maseches Pesachim, or does it also apply to Rosh Hashanah, to Yom Kippur, to Sukkot? He's not sure. So the later Acharedim ask on the Beis Yosef, the Marsho asks on the Beis Yosef, isn't it a Beferish Mishnah in the first parak in Sukkot? Mishnah says, as Machlek is Bisham and Bisil, where they have to construct the Sukkah Lushmo, means the Schach, they have to put on the Schach the Shem Mitzvah, as long as he put it on the Shem Tzel, is good enough. So we pass like Basil, the Shem Tzel is sufficient, there's no need for the Shem Sukkah. So the Gemara has, so the Mishnah says, the whole Machlek is only is, people made a Sukkah in the middle of the summer for fun. to have a hut to sit in. They weren't thinking about sukkahs. What if the sukkah was erected within 30 days before Yontav Sukkahs? So then, clearly, we assume that they certainly had in mind the Shem Mitzvah, because 30 days before Yontav, Shona V'Dorshim Milchus Yontav. So how can the Beis Yosef have a suffix where the Shloshim Yom Shona V'Dorshim only applies to Pesach, or applies also to sukkahs? So the Feirish and Mishnah, and Daf Tesam and Aleph in Sukkah, that if he constructed the sukkah within 30 days before Yontav Sukkahs, is Bevada that they had that in mind. So the Pashta says the Beis Yosef knew that 30 days before Machzah Shekel, you have to start figuring out how you're going to do Machzah Shekel. It's not even a din am yuchud liyantav, it's a din anytime you have a mitzvah, you shouldn't just fall in and say, well, I didn't know and I'm not prepared and I'm an onus. You're supposed to prepare 30 days in advance. Beis Yosef just said, to learn all of Hilchas Pesach, Shona V'Dosh, Hilchas Pesach, you have to start learning every single day, learn a little bit. Maybe that's only Yontav Pesach because Hilchos of Merubin, because there's so many dinim. 30 days before Sukkot, you have to start thinking, how am I going to be Yotze Lulav and Esrig? And I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy the Esrig over there. I'm going to put up the Sukkot. I know. Is there a din you have to learn Hilchas Sukkot starting 30 days before? Every day learn a little bit. Or you say, no, there isn't so much to cover. I'll cover it on Erev Sukkot. I have no school. I'll cover all Hilchas Sukkot. That's the Safik of the Beis Yosef. But the Beis Yosef also knows that in principle the din does apply not only to Sukkot and to Rosh Hashanah, to all the Yom Tov, it applies even to Machzah Shekel. It applies to any mitzvah which is not a mitzvah to Diris. You have to start worrying 30 days before to figure out how you're going to be into this mitzvah. The Gemara in Yuma says that this din, that the Chadesh V'Havi V'Mitshuma Chadosha, the din you have to purchase the Karbanos Tzibah starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan. For the new Machzah Shekel money, that's Lachatchila. And B'Di'eved, if you purchase the Karbanos Tzibur with the old Machzah Shekel money, B'Di'eved, it would be kosher. It's just the din Lachatchila, and it's not Miyake B'Di'eved. No, no. The Chatchila is supposed to use the new Machzah Shekel money for the next year. So the Mishnah is the last perik in Ksubis. The Gemara discussed their Mishnah is in Shkolim. What they do with all the leftover money? There was a lot of leftover money. There was the Mishnah says Bishlosh Prokem Hashana Tarmim Misalishka. They would do Trumas Halishka. The people would be throwing in the Machzah Shekel money all year long. Not everybody. Even one third. Not everybody gave the money before Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, that's the first time they would be Tormim Misalishka. They would take three big sacks of cash, and there would be money left over, tons of money left over there. So they would put a big a leather cover on the money that's left over. That's Moisa Trumas Halishka. The money that's left over after they took out the three sacks, that's called Moisa Trumas Halishka. Then they would use this money starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan until 2 weeks before Shavuos. 2 weeks before Shavuos, from 2 weeks before Pesach, Rosh Chodesh Nissan, 2 weeks before Pesach, to 2 weeks before Shavuos is not one third of the year. That's only 7 weeks. So they would have lots of money left over from the three sacks. There was money left over after they did the Trumas Halishka. So they would put a big leather cover so that they would know the money that was put in later never had a Trumas Halishka done to it. Then there would be tons of money left over from the three sacks. They were only using the three sacks to buy Karbanos for 7 weeks. So then they would do another Trumas Halishka 2 weeks before Shavuos. Befros HaPesach, Befros HaTzeres, Befros HaChag. Fros means 2 weeks before. Fros means to break in half. So you break a month in half and you have 2 weeks before. So 2 weeks before Shavuos, they would take out again three sacks of money. And that would last from Shavuos till Sukkot, which was 6 months minus 7 weeks. And then the third time would be Rosh Hashanah. 2 weeks before Sukkot, they would take out three sacks that had to last for a full 6 months, that had to last the longest. So there was money left over from the first time. When they did the Trumas Halishka, there was money left over. Then there's going to be money left over in the three sacks. They're not going to use up all the sacks. Then the second time they do Trumas Halishka, there's going to be money again left over when they do Trumas Halishka. Then there may or may not be money left over from the sacks. And then the third time also, so the Gemara has a whole, the Mishnah is in Shkolim, and the Gemara, the last pack of Ksubis, have a long, detailed discussion. What do you do with all the leftover money? They didn't use it for Karbanos Tzibah. What right did they have to use it for other purposes other than Karbonas Sibur? It's Me'ila Be'egdash. They used to pay the Malamdim. They used to pay the people in Chinuch. They had Rabbonim who taught the Kohanim how to do the Hakrovas HaKarbonas. So they used to pay the money from the leftover money. So the Gemara says, what kind of business is that? They're Mo'el Be'egdash. They're not allowed to use that money. So the Gemara coins an expression, Lei Bezdin Masna Lein. Bezdin makes a Tanai. The money that's needed for the Machzah Shekel is Kodesh, and whatever is left over, they have the right to use it for other purposes. What do you mean? So how does Bezna have the right to make a Tanai? I'm giving the Machzah Shekel. Bezna isn't giving. And their Machzah Shekel, they have a right to make a Tanai. Well, they have a right to make a Tanai in my money. So that's what Tosfos says, just like the Gemara has an expression that whoever gets married called the Mekadosh Adaita, the Rabbana Mekadosh, that Tosfos coins an expression, Kol HaMagdish, whoever donates money to the Machzah Shekel fund, Al Das Bezn Hu Magdish. Since the Bezn declares this Tanai, so it remains Chol. So wait a minute, what do you mean it remains Chol? So it comes out, it wasn't yet in the mitzvah of Machzah Shekel. What do you mean it remains Chol? So that's a mysterious concept. What does it mean? Lei Bezn Masna Lei Mehutzuchu Hutzuchu Im Lavit should be Chol. It's a problem. In the days of the Gaonim, like today, there was always an issue of fundraising for yeshivas. So they had to come up every year with a new gimmick. So they already did the bingo, and they already had the lottery, and they already did everything. So they had to come up with a new shtick. So they came up, the Goyne Eretz all came up with the shtick that years ago, on Rosh Chodesh Ador, everybody used to give Machtas HaShekel. Echad B'Ador Mashmim Al Hashkolim. So they made a takona that on Tainis Esther, on Purim, everybody should give Machtas HaShekel to support the yeshivas. A zechel machtzah shekel. Not the real machtzah shekel. Real machtzah shekel is for the purpose of karbonis. It has kedushas hegdash on it. But it's an imitation machtzah shekel. So the goyim in Eretz Yisrael were very upset. The goyim in Bavel were very upset about this. They said, what are you, crazy? They corresponded with the goyim in Eretz Yisrael. The goyim means the Rosh Yeshiva's goyim Yankiv. The yeshiva was called goyim Yankiv. And the president of the yeshiva, Dr. Lamb, was the goyim. Rosh Yeshiva's Ganyak, that was the Bekitzer. Some of them were not such Goyim. Sadi Goyim was a Goyim. Afai Goyim was a Goyim. Some of them were just successful fundraisers. But the title was Rosh Yeshiva's Ganyak. The Welt says that the word Goyim is the gematria of 60, because in order to be a Goyim, you had to know all the 60 Mesichtes. Then they try to figure out where are the 60 Mesichtes. They're not 60 Mesichtes. The whole thing has nothing to do with anything. Goyim is a gematria of 60, but that's not why they were called Goyim. Yeshiva, the name of the yeshiva was Goyim Yankiv, and the president was Rosh Yeshiva's Goyim Yankiv. So the Goyim and Bavel were very upset. They said, what are you talking about? The Gemara says, Msochem, you shouldn't say Bosazel le Pesach. You shouldn't say this flesh is, you should say this flesh is for Yontav Pesach, but you shouldn't say for Pesach, because somebody may think that your Magdush is a Korban Pesach, and you're eating Kotchim Bachutz. So how can you say we should introduce a minik to give, to donate money, Zecher le Machzah Shekel? Someone may forget to say Zecher. And you may think that this is, he may not fully understand what Machzah Shekel is. He'll say, here's my Machzah Shekel, like everybody does today. Say, here's my Machzah Shekel money, and it'll be Machzah Shekel. Say, how can you give it to support the yeshiva? It'll be Hegdish, it'll be a Mila Behegdish if you use it. So the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael defended their fundraising gimmick, and they said, we live in Eretz Yisrael, we follow the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says at the end of Shkolim, there's a machlekes hatanoim. What's the din of a person is mafrish bikurim is manazeh? Is it chal or not? So there's machlekes hatanoim. We paskin like Reb Shimon. It's not chal, because the pasuk says reishis bukri ad moscha tavi beis Hashem alakecha. There's man sheyesh beis hamigdash sheyesh kolim is yesh bikurim. When there's no beis hamigdash, the bikurim is not chal. So that's all it says in the Mishnah. Machlekes Reb Shimon the Rabbanan by bikurim is manazeh. So the Yerushalmi quotes that the same machlokes was by Machzah Shekel b'zman hazeh, and the halacha we paskin like Reb Shimon, that just like Bikurim is not chal b'zman hazeh, so Machzah Shekel is not chal b'zman hazeh. So even if the one who's giving the Machzah Shekel really had in mind to donate it as actual Machzah Shekel, is just not chal. So we don't care what he said. So the Goyim in Eretz, the Goyim in Bavel said, "Im Kabbalah hin de Kabbalah." We never heard of this Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi was in Eretz Yisrael. He said, if that's your tradition, okay. But they weren't so thrilled about it. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah quotes the Maharil, that when you fulfill the minig of Machzah Shekel, you should say Zecher the Machzah Shekel. You shouldn't think that it's real Machzah Shekel. You should say say in big letters that it's only a zechar. Machta shekel that we had is one of the three dinim where you say shavik kesef is not acceptable. You have to give davke kesef. So some people, when they want to give the machta shekel, so they're makbid. They'll only give coins. They don't want to give dollar bills. Let's say, I want to give, and I have so many children. I want to give for all of my children. Sure. So I want to give a few dollars. I want to give $5 or whatever. So the people are makbid. No, they take davke coins. They put in paper money. They take out coins and they give in the coins. Why? Because Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan had the Chasam Sefer had the discussion. Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan has a tshuva whether paper money is considered kesef or considered shtar, and by machta shekel it has to be davke kesef, and shtar is not acceptable. So they want to have amash zecher and machta shekel. So the question is, you really need so much of a zecher, even if you hold that paper money is shtar. You have to make such a zecher machta shekel. It could be that you make it look too much like machta shekel if you're going to insist that it should be davke cash and not shtar and not shokes. But so bad if you make out a check. They say Rav Moshe used to complain when he used to always go to the Malava Malkas to raise money for his yeshiva. So everybody would donate chai. So he said he wishes they would give mavis. Chai is only $18. Mavis is over $400. You know? Let him give more. What's an aveira? You have to give only machta shekel. The Torah says, Osho lo yar, b'vahadala yamit. That's the machta shekel. He allowed to give more than a machta shekel. So you have to make such a zecha has to be davke with coin. It shouldn't be with paper money. It shouldn't be with a check. It wouldn't be an aveira if you would give more than a machta shekel. The din doesn't apply. Then you have in the beginning of the parsha, you have the din of kiddush adayim ve'aglayim. You have the din of kiyor. The coin is not allowed to do avoida unless he did kiddush adayim ve'aglayim. Then you have the din of shemen amishcha. Then you have the din of Ketoris. The Gemara has a lot to say about all these din. Okay. So. Oh yeah, let me mention again that on Sunday I have to start the shiur at 9:30 to 11 instead of 11:30 to 1.